You're listening to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life, the podcast where we are becoming the best versions of ourselves, rich in all areas of our lives, not just our bank accounts. I'm Alicia Ward. I'm your host on this journey to create a life rich with fulfillment, health, and mental wealth. In each episode, we'll share insights, we'll share lessons, and we'll share practical tips to empower you on your own path to a rich and meaningful existence. Please make sure to check the show notes for all links and all sponsors, and please subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. Before we get to today's episode, I just want to thank our sponsors. First of all, Mindful Meds. I can't say enough good things about this company. I have been taking Mindful Meds supplements, both that include psilocybin for microdosing and the ones that do not, for since this company was born, honestly. And they help with your overall health, your mental health, anxiety, addiction issues. There's so many things that microdosing can help you with. So I really encourage you to check the show notes, go to the link, check out the website, learn more about it, message them on Instagram if you want. All the information is linked for you there, as well as a code for a discount if you decide to try Mindful Meds out. What's up? Welcome to another episode of A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life. I hope you're all having an amazing week. It was like springtime out and now it's winter again overnight when I'm recording this, but that is Alberta and that is okay. So last week's episode was, you know, I mean, it was just a personal story of mine, a lot about love bombing, and just dating and the experience that I had. So that episode kind of teed up this episode because honestly, a couple things that have happened since that whole thing, me getting dumped on the text and all of that. It's been such a whirlwind of positive, good, amazing things. Okay. And I'm not just saying that. Like at first when I got broken up with, I was glad that I dodged a bullet, you know, but I was still, I mean, rejection still hurts, even though it is protection. And even though I know that, like, it can still hurt us. And a lot of that can do with a lot of like deeper wounds that we have from our childhoods or being rejected even by our parents or something traumatic that happened when we were younger. So that's why rejection can impact a lot of us really deeply. Even if you know that person isn't for you, still being rejected by them really can hurt and mess with your head. And it really magnifies an area in you that you need to work on, right? Relationships are the biggest mirrors and chances for reflection on where you need to work on in yourself. Whatever's getting triggered in you in a relationship with someone is, you know, it's a reflection of what you need to work on within yourself. And so, I mean, I look at relationships as lessons, as learning curves, as, you know, chapters in my book, essentially this book of life. And speaking of books, for me, I journal a lot and it's something that I've been doing consistently for, you know, 7 years now and on and off throughout my childhood. I do have some really old diaries packed away, but especially once I got into personal development and this digital marketing business side of things, I really got into personal growth and personal development and reading the books and journaling and practicing gratitude. And you know, I've done a lot of that, but one thing that I have always stayed quite consistent with always is journaling. And so when all that happened, I had ended a journal. So not only was it the full moon, I think the day before, I was just finishing my time of the month as well. And then I finished a journal. Now to some of you listening, especially if you're a guy, you might be like, whatever. But I really believe in like energy cycles and women's bodies are on these cycles and the moon's on this cycle. And so I just do feel like it's connected because I believe obviously that everything is connected. So anyways, moral of my story is I had started a new journal and the day that I wrote down exactly what I was looking for in my perfect partner was the day after I got broken up with. And so my best friend was like, you need to journal, do it. And I was like, fine, I'll finally do it. So I did that. So the first page of this new journal is my my perfect person. Okay. I wrote it down. I got really clear. And I wrote, you know, like, what is he like? What is his relationship with his family like? Which is obviously a huge one after what happened with Texas Man. How do I feel when I'm around him? What types of things do we enjoy together? And little things like that. And just writing it out. Doesn't need to be perfect. Don't overthink this. And so last night I picked up my journal. I was about to journal in bed and I flipped to the first page of this journal, which I find the meaning of this significant because it's like a new book. This new journal of mine is like a new chapter of my life. And for me, that has a lot of meaning because I journaled on the first page of what my perfect person was, and no fucking joke, the next day I started speaking to someone who in the weeks following has turned out to be literally checking all the boxes in that journal entry. It's still early and I am, you know, I'm guarded and I'm making sure that I'm not getting played by any means. But so far I'm like, so last night when I read that initial journal entry and I thought about this person who's come into my life, I'm just like full body chills when I read it. And it just made me feel like, you know, sometimes that stuff that people tell you to do or you think that you should do and it feels a little like cheesy or corny or woo-woo or whatever, like journaling. Journaling is a great example of it. Has so much power and it holds so much power. And I can't stress about how much I love it. You know, the fact that I have all these journals that I can go back through and read in my life and just see my growth means a lot to me. So if you don't journal but you think about it, you know, get started. Here's how you start, because I know a lot of people, I've had friends reach out to me and be like, how do you even journal? I bought this journal and I go to write in it and I literally don't even know how to start. I'm like, just start it with the date and the day and start it, you know, Tuesday, March, whatever, at whatever time, where you are, if you're in your bed, if you're on your couch, if you're at your boyfriend's house, whatever, and then write about your day, see what comes out. If you can't think of anything to write, then just write some things that you're grateful for. Simple, like just five things. Just get in the habit of writing. The most powerful thing with journaling that I personally find is how it allows me to connect with myself, because we have so many thoughts running through our heads at all times that it's hard to just quiet the mind or focus in on one thing because you just have a million things coming at you at once. You're busy in the day. There's so many distractions. So journaling, it's like you can't really be multitasking. You can't be doing the dishes and journaling. You can't be, you know, playing with your kids and journaling. Journaling is you pen to paper, and that is what it is, you know? So it's really you being so present and then connecting with yourself, your emotions, how you're feeling, how the day was. And it just really is truly powerful for that. So that's just what I wanted to encourage you through this is to journal. I would always recommend that as a coach, as a friend, just to you, is journaling is powerful. Men and women. I know for men, it can seem, well, it's like a stigma and men don't journal, but I can tell you from my perspective, if I'm a journaler and I meet a guy who is also a journaler, it doesn't mean you have to do it every day, but like it's something that's in your life that you have gotten over like the weird feelings about, that's attractive to me for sure, because it means you're taking the time to connect with yourself, which allows you to get to know yourself, which allows you to love yourself. Because when it comes to relationships, your relationships are always going to be a reflection of your relationship with yourself as well. If you don't love yourself unconditionally and you only love yourself for like on certain days or conditionally, then you will attract that into your life as well. And that's why loving yourself needs to come first. It sounds, I know, cheesy, cliche, whatever you want to call it, like self-love, but it is so important. And I can reflect back on my journals from the last 3 years when I really did prioritize my relationship with myself. And that means doing everything from journaling to pushing against my fears, moving to a new country, like leaving a relationship that wasn't serving me. I didn't love myself in that last relationship. And there was just constant conflict because I was looking for that love that I wasn't giving myself from my partner. And we can't do that in a relationship. That will just cause so much conflict. So you need to work on that within yourself. How did I do that for myself? Not just journaling, but like I said, facing my fears, getting uncomfortable. I moved to Mexico. It was something on my mind. I met new people. I got completely out of my comfort zone. In the days when I was in Mexico, actually, it's funny because in my phone, there was a journal entry that got pulled up in my notes from December 20th of 2021. And I wrote in it like how much I was missing Canada, how much I wanted to come home, but like how I knew that I had to stay because the healing that I intended to do wasn't finished yet, which I get chills just even saying that out loud because I went there with the intent to heal. And I know a lot of people are like, wow, you lived in Mexico. It was like, must have been so much fun. It was fun and I had a lot of fun and I met a lot of people and cool experiences, but at the same time, it was really hard. You know, I was hurting, I was healing, I was heartbroken. My life had totally done a 180. I only had one of my dogs. Rupert was, you know, with my dad. I was in a country where I initially didn't know anyone. I had left my comfort zone of Kelowna where I knew people and was partying and all that to go be by myself. So there were some really down days or moments or hours where I really just sat with myself and my feelings and I cried and I journaled and I went through the fucking emotions because you have to feel to heal. And I knew that. And so even though I was feeling like, and I could have just said, fuck it and booked a flight home. And I could have done that. But I knew that I wasn't done what I had went there to do, which was get away from the things that weren't allowing me to grow and keeping me stuck in the people and the relationships and the place and get outside of it so I could really hone in on me and my relationship with myself, which now I'm proud of myself. I love myself and I respect myself and the decisions that I've made. I don't sit with regret anymore, but that is something that I really had to work on because I used to sit and dwell. Ooh, I'm just actually kind of forgot how much I used to do this until now that I'm talking about it because I haven't done it in so long. I used to sit and dwell on things I could not change, decisions I had made, whether it had to do with people or money or whatever. I would dwell on the past to the point that I'd be riddled with anxiety and it would keep me up at night and talking about this now, I haven't done that in quite some time, which makes me feel really good. It's moments like this where you realize your growth. You're like, oh, wow, I haven't done that for a long time. And that feels really good. And other than that, you know, I followed my heart. So I had moved back to Kelowna, but I knew deep down that I should be closer to family and my oldest friends. You know, I was actually listening to a podcast today and it was talking about relationships and it was talking about how like we crave connection and we crave people knowing and understanding us the most. And there's no one who really knows and understands you more than the people who have been in your life for like years and years and years and years. You know, I met a lot of friends, I put in quotations, while living in BC and stuff, but it was very surface level friendships. But my friends here in Alberta, the ones I went to high school with, the ones that we went through our 20s with and the partying and the ups and the downs, and now, you know, they're grown up, they have kids, maybe they're married or whatever. Those friendships and those connections and feeling understood by those people and knowing that I can tell them anything, it's priceless to me. And it has been such a game changer because when I initially moved out of Alberta, I let go. I disconnected from all of those friendships. I was new into digital marketing. People didn't understand what it was. They were making fun of me. I moved away and I was living this lifestyle and it just, those connections just kind of fell by the wayside. I don't think it was my fault specifically or theirs. I just think it happened. But those a lot of those relationships came back into my life later down the road, and I'm so grateful for that now. So when I moved back from Mexico, I just felt like I just knew, like my intuition was like, go to Calgary. Because when I moved back from Mexico, I had, if you go back a few episodes, you know, I got really vulnerable with you in the awareness. I can't remember the name of the episode. Awareness is the key to your healing and growth or something. But I did spend another summer there, and I just went right back into my old habits, right back into the same types of relationships and people and toxicity and drama. And I knew that if I stayed there another summer, the same thing would happen. So I did. I left and moved to Calgary. It was also a hard time, you know. It was emotionally hard on me. I remember crying on my drive, but also feeling excited. You know that feeling when you're so scared, but you're also so excited? That's like what I've put myself into so much. I remember leaving New Mexico, and I was so scared, but so excited at the same time. And when that flight or when that plane left and like took off, I was bawling my eyes out on the plane. I was just full of emotion. Because of course it's like an emotional thing. When you're leaning into the things that scare you, it can be one of the most challenging things, but the most rewarding as well. Right. So then I moved to Calgary and I created this little space that I love and that I like, you know, it's very like my vibe and plants and dim lighting. And it's my vibe, right? It's all my space. It's all my own. And I really started dating myself. So I haven't lived here a year yet. It'll be a year in June, but I spent last summer, I hung out a lot alone. I did have some weekends where I hung out with like my closest friends and stuff, but a lot of time I did spend alone. Sitting on my patio, whether it was journaling, I took myself out on a lot of dates, like would go to find my favorite little patios, take the dogs or not, go have a drink for happy hour, like do some work on my phone or read my book. I got into reading fiction. I would get lost in books and I just found this like happy peacefulness that I've never had all on my own. And now fast forward to almost being here for a year, completely removed myself from the party scene, from toxic relationships and drama. I literally have none now. It's a good feeling. And just being okay and like letting go of the FOMO. I think the FOMO was a huge thing for me, like fear of missing out. Like if I'm not in Kelowna, like I'll miss it. No, I've left Kelowna, you know, and this could be applied to any city, but I left Mexico. I didn't miss it. I left, moved to Calgary, and it was hard initially in the summer, but you know, overall, I didn't miss it because it wasn't allowing me to grow. It was keeping me stuck and stagnant. So I really focused in on dating myself. I was talking about that to you and creating a life that I genuinely found joy and in the small things. Like there's little things in my life day to day now that I love and find joy in, like the farmer's market, like my little morning routine when I wake up and I feed the dogs and I make my coffee and I light a candle and I let the dogs out and I make my water with my electrolytes and I put my vitamins out. Like this is my on repeat. I do that every day and it like grounds me and makes me feel good. So finding joy in those things, right? And I think that's so important to find that joy and that happiness all on your own. So you're never relying on someone else to bring you that you know in your mind that you can be happy all by yourself, because happiness does start on the inside. It's not in somebody else. It's not in materialistic things. It is truly in your relationship with yourself and self-acceptance and self-love. I heard another really interesting thing in a podcast I was listening to, and I'll link the podcast in the show notes so you can go listen to it if you'd like to as well. It said that we will attract people who are most like the people who hurt us until we heal that part of us, which really hit me because I went back and kind of thought about these different relationships and especially the whole love bombing thing. And I can see such a pattern in a lot of these men that I was attracting in my life from getting single. I was really lacking self-love when I first became single after my 5-year relationship. And I knew I was going on a journey to find it. But for some reason, I thought it would come really quickly. And it didn't. Honestly, I think I've just truly stepped into a version of myself of unconditional love. And that's only happened in the last, 6 months or so. Maybe not even that. Maybe even just now as I'm standing here talking to you today. But, I can look back on this pattern of men who turned out to be like love bombing, which I think has a lot to do with narcissism. And I deal with a lot of narcissism in my mother, right? A lot of these men were dealing with addiction of some sort, whether they were sober because they had addiction issues in the past, or they, were working on being a better version of themselves and they were like aware that they wanted to stop doing things, or whatever. But addiction is also in my family. Think of my brother dying from addiction. And, I was greatly hurt when my brother passed because we hadn't spoke for 3 years. And I truly believe his addiction, like, would not allow him to forgive me. He didn't speak to me. He wouldn't respond to me. It really hurt me when he died and I hadn't spoke to him for 3 years and he had never returned any of my messages. Deep wound. All right. So then I can look at the relationships from like immediately after his funeral that I was attracting. There was a lot of like sober guys because they were addicts or people who were, trying to stop living a certain way that were maybe struggling. So that's like my brother, and there's addiction in other people in my family as well. Emotionally unavailable men like my dad for so many years. That is a vulnerable spot for me because my parents divorced when I was 12 years old. And, when they divorced, no one was there to protect me. My dad moved away to Edson and we would see him every second weekend. And my mom was just so hurting. She was so upset with it all. And she was struggling, a single mom of 6 kids. We lived in a house that didn't have a furnace. We had a wood stove only. And the winters are so harsh in Alberta. So it was hard to witness that in my mom. So, maybe she was also not emotionally available for me. This has kind of been coming up a lot in me, and I think it's because I'm spending so much time even around my niece, who, she's turning 8 this year, and she's just a sweet, innocent girl with this great life. And when obviously, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, you're probably going through that same roller coaster of emotions, seeing your kids at each different age and then remembering back or having flashbacks or even having memories that have been repressed come up. It's quite the thing. When my parents divorced, I can see now directly how it affected me. I essentially had daddy issues. I was looking for love in older men. And I was able to get away with it because there was no one protecting me. My dad wasn't involved in that side of my life. He would call and check in, but it's not like he was parenting or seeing or like, who's picking you up? Let me go meet him. And my mom, I was such a good little liar. I was like, I'm going to go stay at so-and-so's house. And, everything was a lie and I wouldn't know where I was staying. I'd just be out partying and doing things. And, I was rebelling. I was hurting. I had no one to protect me. I was looking for that love from men. And the things that happened when I was young, because I was lacking that from my dad, that protection, and it's soul crushing, if I'm being totally honest with you, the things that I did. And it's been really hard to heal from. Ultimately, I still have so much emotion inside of me when I think back to that younger version of myself who, obviously I wasn't conscious of what I was doing, but now I see I was just needing that protection and that love from my dad. And my mom, but my mom has always been pretty disconnected emotionally from us. And she was a great mom in terms of like, we were always fed and clothed and like went to school on time and things like that. But there wasn't a lot of like an emotional connection there really for any of us. And I can see a direct correlation to that and her relationship with herself. because I don't think my mom ever really found true love in herself. And she was always looking for purpose in men or as being a mom, and she didn't find it herself on her own. And so that's been a huge motivator for me to find that for myself, because I remember being young and just looking at that my mom and feeling her pain because I'm such an empath. And when her and my dad divorced, being like, I am never going to turn out this way. And that is why I chose not to have kids. Like, I remember being 12, 13, 14 and being like, I am not having kids until I'm married and I have two vehicles, because we always only had one shitty vehicle that wasn't reliable. And, you know, all these things. And it just instilled in my brain. And I have no doubt that's why my life is manifested like it is, because I have been stuck to that goal of mine for all of these years because of what I and the pain and I experienced just energetically through both my parents. And my dad, I witnessed him go through a second marriage after my mom, and that ending so terribly. It was just like a constant thing of unhealthy love. And now, you know, I have so much empathy for my inner child and for myself when I was younger. And I can really genuinely forgive myself for things that happen, because I can see exactly why I did them now. And it's setting the stage for how I will be in my life, what I'll be conscious of and aware of as a parent, and all those things. So, but the only thing that led me to be able to like say these things and understand them, be able to be so vulnerable and open, is because I really have done that inner work and reflection. When we're holding in traumas and energies and it's not moving, it can just cause so much conflict internally in our bodies and in our relationships, and we might not know why. And we'll try and find reasons for it. Maybe I'm not taking this supplement, or I'm not working out, so mentally I'm not there, or, you know, your partner's doing something wrong, but it is really just stuff you need to work on in yourself. But I, through the years, have done a lot of therapy, hypnotherapy, breath work, retreats, meditations, sound healings, plant medicine, ayahuasca and DMT, and just the small, consistent work that I find truly impactful as well, like journaling being a huge one. And I have a certain meditation that I'll link in the show notes that actually is about like releasing someone who used to like who you had a connection with and how to cut that tie, whether it's a friend or a partner or a parent. And I've done this for many people. Many, many nights I have gone to sleep with this meditation playing in the background and just really listen to it all and immerse myself in it. And I do believe that doing those things consistently and repetitively does have a really big impact. And to circle this back to what I was saying at the beginning of the episode, that was a bit on a lighter note, like about the journaling, how it manifested so quickly in my life. I believe that we won't be given things that we deserve or that is meant for us until we're actually ready. Okay, so maybe all these years I'm like, okay, I'm ready for a relationship. I'm ready for that love. But I hadn't fully built that connection with myself yet. I didn't get to the point where I loved myself unconditionally. I still had hurt and wounds from people like my dad or my brother or my mom that I hadn't fully faced and processed. You have to feel to heal. And so I found that each relationship that came in that magnified where I needed to grow, after each of those, I went and worked on that those parts of myself. In the minute when you're doing it, it feels so in the moment when you're doing it, it can feel so, you know, like it's not, like you're like, how is this going to make a difference? How is writing this journal entry going to make a difference? But it's not the doing it one time. It's doing it consistently and again and again and again. And when you don't feel like doing it, you do it twice as hard. You know what I mean? And you face those and you cry when you need to cry. And after you cry, you journal again and like just fucking do it. I just can't stress enough how much it feels right now that it's truly, truly paying off. And to see how quickly that it worked from when I wrote that journal entry to then meeting the person that I have, it, the reaction in my body that I have, like the goosebumps and the chills, I'm like, wow, you know, this is just proof that You don't get to choose the timeline. You don't get to choose how long it's going to take you to grow. You don't get to choose when your person is going to come into your life. You cannot control those things. So if you're a control freak, the first thing that you're going to need to have to work on is truly surrendering to the fact that you have no control to those things. And all you can control is yourself, is if you're showing up, if you're journaling, if you're taking that time for yourself, if you're managing your health, or if you're spending all your time and energy obsessing over and stressing about things that happened in the past that you cannot change. That is just a waste, you know, and that will not serve you or your growth. You have to focus on what you can control. And when you fully immerse yourself in that and what you can control, you can't control your relationship with other people. You can't control how someone else is going to treat you, whether it's a friend, a mom, a partner, it doesn't matter. All you can control is how you're showing up in it. And when someone triggers you with something that they say, or something really bothers you or sets you off, that's just a sign that you need to sit down and be like, okay, why? Why is this coming up? And then that's when you sit and be quiet. That's when you pull out that pen and that journal and you ask yourself these questions and you write it out. Are you always going to get the answer that you're looking for? Maybe not in that moment, but you will eventually. You absolutely will eventually. And the feeling that you get when you get the validation that the work that you're doing is truly pay off, when you have those moments of like, oh, wow, I have grown. Oh, like you can just stop with the comparison. You can stop with the feelings of not enoughness. And you can know that you're taking action every day, even if it's the smallest thing, like writing a fucking journal entry. And if you just do that consistently and you keep showing up for yourself and you keep working on that relationship with yourself, then and only then will what you're ready for come into your life. So if you're facing a repeat pattern, like the wrong person, the wrong person, the wrong person, it's not like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with all these people? It's like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with me? What do I need to heal? What do I need to fix? What do I need to focus in on, you know? And just do that. We are lucky in this generation that we are so aware of personal growth and healing generational trauma. Our parents did the best that they could with what they had, and we realize that we can't change them now, but we can change ourselves. We can change how we parent. We can break those generational traumas and patterns and truly live a life for ourselves that when we're 50, 60, we're not dealing with broken relationships with our kids or people in our life because we didn't love ourselves. And this goes for men and women. Work on that relationship with yourself like it is because, not like it is, because it is the most important relationship you will ever have. I love you so much. And thank you for being here on my podcast. And I'm going to talk to you again next. Thanks for listening and being a subscriber to A Poor Girl's Guide to a Rich Life. Your support means so much to me. Don't forget to check the show notes for any and all links. You never know what you're going to find there. It can be different every single time. And again, don't forget to drop us a review. It helps the podcast so much. I do this for free, so that means the world to me. We'll catch you next week in another episode.